In Matthew 19, 17 through 22, a rich man asked Jesus what he must do to have eternal life. Jesus said, "If you would enter life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which?" And Jesus said, "You shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your mother and father, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these I have observed. What do I still lack?" And Jesus said, "If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me." This passage can be very confusing because Jesus seems to say one thing when asked what you must do to be saved, but then when press says, "Well, no, actually, you have to do this seemingly impossible thing that nobody really wants to do." So which is it? Do you just have to keep the commandments to be saved? Or do you have to sell everything and give it to the poor and live as a pauper? Without the doctrine of purgatory, this passage can be rather confusing, as I said. But with the doctrine of purgatory in mind, we can see that Jesus wasn't giving the man two answers to one question. Rather, Jesus differentiates between being saved, we must obey the commandments, and having the perfection necessary to enter heaven, which at least for this man would require selling everything and giving it to the poor in order to avoid purgatory. We don't have to bend over backwards and jump through hoops and make it sound like Jesus didn't actually mean what he said, like those who deny purgatory often do. We can take Jesus at his word. The key to understanding this passage is when Jesus says, "If you wish to be perfect." We don't have to be perfect to be saved, but we must be perfect to enter into heaven. As Hebrews 12:14 says, "Strive for peace with all men and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord." And in starting in verse 22, "But you have come to Mount Zion and the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festival gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to the judge who is God of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." Again, we must be perfect to enter into heaven. But most people don't die in a state of perfection and must first go through purgatory. In the passage where the rich man asked Jesus what he needs to be saved, Jesus indicates the level of sacrifice it takes to expiate sin enough in this life to avoid purgatory. He also says that giving to the poor gives you treasure in heaven and can help you avoid purgatory, as Matthew 11:41 says, "But give alms for those things which are within, and behold, everything is clean for you." And Matthew 6, verses 1 and 3 say, "Beware of practicing your piety before men in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Tobit 12:9 says, "For almsgiving delivers from death, and it will purge away every sin. Those who perform deeds of charity and of righteousness will have fullness of life." Clearly, giving alms can expiate sin and help us avoid purgatory. Otherwise, what's the point to these passages? If the Protestants are right, and you don't have to do anything, just have faith, and when you die, you go to heaven, then these verses and many others mean nothing. But the early church understood that we had to expiate sin before entering heaven. Giving alms to the poor isn't the only way to expiate sin. Various penances, such as mortification, also expiate sin. 1 Corinthians 9:27 says, "No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." So much for once saved, always saved. The early church would give long, harsh, public penances to expiate sin. They would last months or years. The idea behind these harsh penances was to completely expiate the sin in this life and avoid purgatory altogether. You know how the Old Testament talks about the Jews putting on sackcloth and ashes to show repentance? Well, that kind of penance continued in the early church. Today, we are given light penances, maybe an Our Father, a few Hail Marys. What does that tell you? It should tell you we're not doing enough penance. So the church, through the authority of binding and loosing Christ gave her, see Matthew 16:19 and 18:18, which only the hierarchy of the Catholic Church has, Christ gave this authority to Peter and the apostles, not everyone, in her wisdom offers us indulgences, which we can apply to ourselves or soul in purgatory. An indulgence has a penance value. In other words, doing an indulgenced act is the same as a certain amount of old-school, public, harsh, early church penance. Now, the church used to say this act is worth X amount of penance. For example, kissing your brown scapular gave you 100 days indulgence. In other words, it was worth 100 days of old school penance, not 100 days off your time in purgatory. Today, because of that confusion, the church just says an indulgence is either partial, it cancels part of the debt, or plenary, it cancels all of the debt. The church has the authority to commute your sentence. And it started off like this. Someone goes to the bishop and confesses their sins. They receive a 4-year penance. However, the bishop says, but I'll knock off 2 years if you take a pilgrimage to Rome or Jerusalem. That person just received a 2-year indulgence. Now, the church isn't cheating. The penance actually gets done just by someone else. Let's say a monk lived in the 12th century, and he lived a life of penance. When he died, his work was tested, as says will happen in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and his work held up, and he received his reward. But he had done more penance than was required for him. The excess goes into a, quote, treasury. This treasury is made up of the infinite merits of Christ on the cross, so right there it will never run out. And the superabundance of the merits of Mary and the saints. The church has access to this treasury and distributes the merits to us through indulgences. In order to receive an indulgence, you must be Catholic and in a state of grace. In other words, you haven't committed a mortal sin. And you must intend to receive the indulgence. That is all that is required for a partial indulgence. For a plenary indulgence, you must also go to confession within 20 days before or after the act. One confession can be applied to all the indulgences earned within that 20 days. Obviously, if you commit a mortal sin, you must go to confession first or the indulgence is not applied. You must receive communion within a reasonable time, pretty much the next Mass you attend, one indulgence per communion. Pray for the Pope's intentions, usually one Our Father, one Hail Mary, and one Glory Be. You just say for the Pope's intentions and say the prayers. You don't have to specifically say what those intentions are. Do this for each plenary indulgence. Oh, and you must be free from all attachment to sin, including venial sin. Yeah, that's the hard one. These four additional requirements for plenary indulgence are called the usual requirements. If one or more of these requirements are not met, the plenary indulgence is reduced to a partial indulgence. You can earn only one plenary indulgence per day, except in the case of death, you can still earn a plenary indulgence for dying if you've already earned one that day. Now, the intention to receive indulgences, whether plenary or partial, can be general. It doesn't have to be specific. In other words, you don't have to say, I am doing this, and I intend to receive the indulgence that is attached to this work that I'm doing. You can just intend to receive indulgences for what you do. I do a general intention every morning. I say, Lord, I intend to receive all the indulgences and merits of my works, prayers, and sufferings of this day. Anything that I do that has an indulgence attached to it, I intend to receive it. There is a list of everything indulgenced called the Enchiridion of Indulgences. In other words, all of the indulgences are in this list. You can look it up online if you like, but here are some simple indulgences that you can do. Crossing yourself gives you a partial indulgence. Devout use of a blessed article, partial indulgence, so kissing your brown scapular or whatever. Giving to someone in need, alms to the poor, or partial indulgence. Depriving yourself of something licit, like not eating meat, is a partial indulgence. Lifting your mind up and invoking God while doing your work or going through the trials of life, a partial indulgence. So in other words, when you're working, you're going through something hard, and you just looked up and you say, Lord, give me strength, you get an indulgence for that. Reading scripture at least 30 minutes, a plenary indulgence. Stations of the cross, a plenary indulgence. Eucharistic adoration at least 1 hour, plenary indulgence. Saying the eternal rest prayer, a partial indulgence that is only applicable to the souls in purgatory. Saying the Hail Holy Queen, partial indulgence. Saying the creed, whether the Apostles or the Nicene Creed, partial indulgence. Getting involved in mental prayer, a partial indulgence. And the most indulgence act that you can do is praying the rosary. If you say 5 decades in a church, all 5 decades in one sitting without any interruption, and announcing the mysteries, that is a plenary indulgence. Otherwise, it is a partial indulgence. And by the way, if you don't like read scripture for 30 minutes, then it's a partial indulgence. If you do Eucharistic adoration and you're not quite getting it there an hour, it's a partial indulgence too. So back to the rosary. Praying the 5 decades of the rosary will give you an indulgence, either partial or plenary, But you also get partial indulgences for saying the creed, the Hail Holy Queen, for crossing yourself before and after, for the meditations on the mysteries, and devout use of a blessed article. So just praying 5 decades of the rosary gives you 7 indulgences. Now, if you're already doing these things and you're not forming the intention to receive indulgences, you're leaving money on the table. If you're not doing these things, you need to start doing them. As Jesus says in Matthew 6:20, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. Until my next video, God bless.